It's just a joy for me to be here with you all this week and to think carefully together and biblically together about the ministry of the word to one another. And so various forms of counselor pride and their remedies, that's the topic I've been assigned for this morning. And so in the spirit of our topic, I think we better stop and pray and ask for the Lord's grace. Father, you are humble. And we are proud. Christ emptied himself, set aside the glory that was due his name, and took on human flesh, dwelt among us, and has shown us the way of humility. He became obedient even to the point of death. Not just death, but death on a cross. For that reason, you have highly exalted him. So it's now our prayer that, Lord, we would be like-minded, that we would follow in his footsteps, that that very attitude that he had would be the attitude that we have, that especially as we minister your word to others, that we would be humble. And so we ask that you would humble us now to receive from your word, to be honest about just the many forms of pride that can beset us, and be increasingly dependent upon you, not just to be conformed to the image of your beloved Son, but to speak as he speaks, and to serve as he serves. In Christ's name, amen. Well, C.S. Lewis referred to pride as the mother of all sins. And he said that because he felt it was the sin that gives birth to most all other sins. It was the sin that he saw beset Lucifer and his rebellion in heaven. It was the sin that Adam and Eve even fell prey to. Just this idea that you can disobey God, eat the fruit, and be like God, knowing things that you don't know now, knowing things that only he knows. It was certainly the sin that is going to prompt Cain to murder his brother. Just over bringing a sacrifice and a simple correction from God was enough to just inflame his heart with all kinds of anger and despondency and murderous thoughts. And just that thread just goes through the Bible. That's some of what we're going to look at. That even self-righteousness, one of the strongest opponents to the gospel in the history of our race, is fundamentally about pride. That I can achieve a righteousness of my own. I can work in such a way that commends myself to God, where he can look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant, apart from Jesus, just simply on my own merits. And self-righteousness, one of the true anti-gospels. It just can't be separated from just self-centered pride. And the general problem of pride is remedied by the general grace of humility. You know, that pride in general is put to death by in Christ in general, but through humility in general. I must decrease and Christ must increase, to use John the Baptist's words. I must deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. That I actually need his spirit put in me. And a spirit that is chiefly concerned with the exaltation of the Son. More and more of God needs to be the center of my life, your life. So this is true for all of us. But I will say, for the point of our topic this morning, I don't think a general theology of pride and a general theology of humility is enough. It's certainly not enough for us this morning. That it helps to get into the particulars. That a general knowledge of our enemies is not near as valuable as a very specific knowledge of our enemies. Just in the same way that a general repentance about sin in general is often not as helpful as a very specific repentance about sin in specific. And so I think that's why I've been asked to talk about, okay, what are the various forms, the many expressions of pride in our lives. And so in thinking about it, praying about it, going to the Word and seeing it there, just reflecting on my own ministry over the years, I came up with 23. And so I stopped at 23 just for the sake of our time. And just for my own soul's sake, I couldn't take more than 23. I even put them in alphabetical order for you. I actually got about 15 in and realized every word started with a different letter. So I said, you know, why not? Let's just make an acrostic out of this thing. And so what we'll do is just walk through some of these. I'll just give some brief comments on each one, and then we'll turn our attention to, okay, and how does the ministry of Christ and the Spirit and the Word sort of battle against these various forms of pride? How do they remedy them? So something for you to do is just as you hear these and think about these and walk through these, just to begin to identify what are some that you're most commonly disposed to. And in particular, not just in general, but as you minister to people, as you counsel people, as you serve people. So number one, apathy rather than compassion. It is entirely possible for us to give ourselves to the ministry of counseling and not actually really care about people. It really is possible. You see that in the ministry of the disciples when they're around Jesus. There's lots of moments where their words and responses to people are not particularly compassionate about people. When the little children are going to come to him, what do the disciples want to do? Get them away. Get them away. And Jesus has to correct them and say, no, let them come. The kingdom belongs to such as these. You know, I spent years and years and years working in graduate studies and going into the field of counseling, and honestly, without really caring that deeply about people. I really thought I did, but I just mostly liked fixing people. I mostly liked seeing their problems and showing them their problems and then telling them what to do about it. Probably in the same way a personal trainer likes to be a personal trainer. There's some who, I mean, they really care about people, but for many, it's just they just like the work. And so we have to be careful about the pride of apathy. You know, I think the pride of Jonah was expressed in this form, that when God is going to send him to the Ninevites to proclaim the good news there and warn them of a wrath to come, what's Jonah's response? I'm going to run. And it wasn't fear per se. He was afraid of something, but what was he afraid of? Yeah, their salvation. Afraid that God would actually be who God is, to be merciful, to be compassionate. And even after God spares the city, Jonah's like, I knew this about you. I knew you were this way. So it's interesting that you can have really strong theology and still be really anxious and depressed and mad. Because he's going to quote Leviticus. He's going to quote Exodus, things that God reveals about himself. It's just he hates it when it applies to people he doesn't like. And so, yeah, apathy. We're in danger of this. Number two, bullheadedness. Rather than prudence, we charge forward into people's lives, whether invited or not. We just give advice and tell people what to do, whether they're ready for it or not. We won't back down. We won't slow down. The more they resist, the harder we push. We may even call it, okay, perseverance. I'm just persevering. When maybe we're just being bullheaded. Maybe we're just being insensitive. We're just charging in. Third, control rather than humble leadership. Pride doesn't like to follow. Pride doesn't like to be responsive to others. Pride doesn't like to just sort of walk and be sort of led, whether it's by the Spirit, by the Word, by the words of others. And you think about how much counseling really does begin with what's on another person's mind, what's on another person's heart, their response to what we're saying. Yeah, there's moments where I'm so committed to a passage in that session, man, that any interruption is really irritating. Like, I'll take your comments.